Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 11. In verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Abraham received a call from God. Now, in Abraham's case, he was not yet a believer. In those days, God dealt with people a little bit differently than he deals with them today. It was a different dispensation. In those days, there was no Bible. There was no Christian faith. For that matter, there was no Jewish faith. Everybody dealt with God on an individual basis. And so God called out Abraham. Now, he called him at age 75. It's not like he was 20 or 30 when he was called. He was called at 75. He was an old man already. And God called him out, and Abraham obeyed him. Now, the thing about Abraham obeying him is, Abraham came from a place called the Ur of the Chaldeans. Today we're told that was somewhere in Iraq. Abraham was an Iraqi by today's standards. And he went out not knowing where he was going, and God brought him into Canaan, which today is the area of Israel. Now, there will be times in your life where God has a call on your life. You know the call, you know part of it, but you don't know the outcome and you don't know why. That can happen. Sometimes it does. If that happens to you, or maybe when that happens to you, don't worry about it. Just respond. At that time, you simply take a step of faith. God says, I want you to do this. How am I going to do it? Take a step of faith. I don't see my way through it. Take a step of faith. God said, Abraham, at your age of 75, go out of the Ur of the Chaldeans and go to where I will show you. Abraham didn't say where. Abraham simply followed. And then God brought him to where God wants him. He didn't know where he was going. He took a step of faith. In your life, learn how to take steps of faith. Because your life is made of faith. The just live by faith in Habakkuk 2:4. And so if I'm going to live with God, I'm going to live by faith. Now, it's not a blind faith, although you can't see, but it's a well-informed faith. Because the faith that you have comes through the Word of God in Romans 10:17. So the first thing that you want to do in order to prepare yourself to be able to take steps of faith is get the Word of God. That Word of God will build your faith. It'll give you the ability. And then in Galatians 5:6, get built up in the love of God, because the love of God is what gives you the energy, if you will, or the trust to take a step of faith. If you don't trust him, you won't go with him. If you trust him, then he'll take you to places you wouldn't expect. Now, places you wouldn't expect are far better than places you would expect. Because in Ephesians 3:20, God goes above and beyond all that you can ask or think. In Isaiah 55, 8, 9, his ways are infinitely beyond our ways, and his thoughts are infinitely beyond our thoughts. So don't worry about whether you can figure it out. Sometimes this happens to Christians. If I can figure out my step of faith, then I'll take it. If I can figure out how I'm going to get by, then I'm going to take it. If I can figure out how to do it, then I'm going to take it. That's not a step of faith. A step of faith means you simply trust him and you obey. That's it. And the fact that you don't know how or where or when or why any of that, you don't worry about it. The question is it His will? If it's His will, then you have everything you need to take a step of faith confidently. In Genesis 22, verse 1, Abraham was really challenged. He was challenged like very few people ever get challenged. It came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. When God tested Abraham, he was not fooling around. And said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he, God, said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. Are you serious? Take your son, offer him up. He was the promise. What do you mean, offer him up? He was the promise. God, you promised him to me. And God said, Yes, I did. Now offer him up. Give him back to me. Abraham didn't hesitate. He knew what he had to do. I'm not saying that he necessarily had good emotions about it. But he trusted God. And on the way, as he and Isaac went, Isaac asked him, We have the wood, we have everything we need. Where's the lamb for the offering? And Abraham said, Don't worry about it. God will provide himself a lamb. And then when he finally got to the place, and by the way, Moriah is a place, not a mountain. Some translations say Mount Moriah. It's not a Mount Moriah. The literal translation is the mountainous region of Moriah. Land of Moriah is indeed a better translation than that. The actual mountain where God took him to do the offering, scholars tell us that that was Mount Calvary. It's the very same place where Christ was crucified, where Abraham was to offer Isaac. And that's because God was teaching about the offering that God would make on our behalf. And so Abraham takes him there. Dad, where's the offering? God will provide himself a lamb. Now he actually puts Isaac on the altar. Now Isaac was not a little kid at this time. Sometimes you see him portrayed or described as like this 12-year-old kid. He was not. He was in his 20s, a strapping rancher. I mean, this guy was lifting sheep. Sheep are not light. This guy was a strapping young man. He was strong. He was able, but he was humble. And so when his dad, and he had a lot of respect for his dad, said, I'm going to have to put you on the altar. He didn't fight it. Because his dad imparted to him the faith that he possessed. And so Isaac was able to operate in the same faith that Abraham was. Abraham had to give up his son. Isaac was the son being given up. And Isaac didn't fight it. And Abraham puts him on the altar. He takes the knife, lifts it in the air. He's about to plunge it into Isaac to offer him. And God says, okay, that's enough. Now wait. Don't hurt him. Don't do anything. And then there was a ram, not a lamb, a ram that was caught in the bushes. And that's what was offered up. You see, Abraham took a step of faith even though he could not understand it. This is the promise you gave me, so I'm going to trust the promise you gave me. I'm going to trust your character. And even though I don't understand what you're asking me to do, I'm going to do it because I trust you. That's a step of faith. He didn't say to God, okay, God, let's talk about this. How do you expect me to offer him up when he is the promise and the fulfillment of all that you promised me, that there would be a nation that comes out of me, that I would be the father of this nation, of many nations? How am I possibly going to do that if I sacrifice the boy that you gave me to make that happen. So God, this can't be right. This must be a mistake. I don't see my way through it. He never said anything like that. It wasn't a mistake. That step of faith was what enabled Abraham to actually become the father, not only of the Jews, but of the Christians also. He is the father of our faith because of that event. That's a step of faith. A step of faith is always going to have amazing results because a step of faith is where God is taking you in order to use you, in order to do something magnificent. But a lot of times God will not do it without you because God wants to be revealed in the world. So God will ask you to take a step of faith for the reason, number one, of building you. That's always His first desire, to build you, to develop something in you. And then His second desire is to reflect Himself through you to those people who don't know Him. And so your steps of faith are going to be sometimes miraculous. Sometimes they're going to be very subtle and nobody's going to see them but you. But don't ever think to yourself that those things that people can't see but you, that they don't have an impact, they have an eternal impact. Don't think because you don't have a crowd there for some reason, whatever it is that you're doing, or a lot of people aren't with you, that it's not relevant. Jesus had ultimately with Him only four people. Three of them were women, and one of them knew that God loved him. And if you look at the women who there were, you would think, well, of course they're going to be there for the most part. One of them was his mom. Well, of course mom's going to be there. One of them was his aunt, actually. And it's very believable that no matter what happens, his aunt would be there. One of them was a woman who he delivered from seven demons. The gratitude she had, she wasn't going to leave him at all. And one of them, John, the young man, the one that realized he's the disciple that Jesus loved, what a lot of people don't realize is that was Jesus' cousin. Not only John the Baptist was his cousin, that John was also his cousin. And so these are the four people that Jesus, God incarnate, God on earth, these are the four people He has. Everybody else ran away. But those were also the four people who actually got to witness history's most profound event. And the reason is because they took a step of faith. It was very dangerous to be with Jesus at the cross. That's why Peter, the night before, when the young girl said about him, wasn't he one of the ones that followed Jesus? He said, no, not me, boy. He was terrified. It was very dangerous to be at the cross. It was very dangerous to be around somebody like Jesus in those days. But those four people, they had no problems with it. They were going to be there through thick and thin. They were going to do what He was doing. They were going where He was going. They were not budging. They would be there. And they were. That was a step of faith. As He was being crucified, that was a step of faith. Now, Jesus told them beforehand what would happen. They didn't get it. They had no way of getting it. I mean, at the Last Supper, He said, tell my brethren to go to Galilee and I'll meet them there. The night before He's being crucified, He knows He's about to be crucified. He knows it's happening the next day. It's like saying, tomorrow morning they're going to kill me, but on Tuesday I'll meet you at Starbucks. That's pretty confident, don't you think? Well, yeah. Because even Jesus trusted the Father. Even Jesus trusted the plan. Even Jesus trusted the finished work of Christ, which was His finished work. Jesus knew what was going on. Why? He was completely man. He operated very much like we do. He was completely God, yes. He was also completely man. That's why He said, you're going to do greater things than these. He's talking to men who are men. And he was a man. Taking a step of faith is nothing new. It's how everything works. Never be afraid to take a step of faith, but only take that step if God is leading you there. Sometimes people get presumptuous. Abraham, when he left the Ur of the Chaldeans, did not get presumptuous. He followed the call of God. He didn't understand the call of God, but he followed the call of God. That was not presumptuous. Sometimes people see something and they'd like to get involved, and this can happen pretty easily. And it's really just immaturity in most cases. Most people grow out of this eventually. But let's say you're a young Bible college student and you meet missionaries and it's very exciting and you want to go on the mission field because it seems very exciting. And so you go. But you might not be called. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. The question is, are you called? It's not about the adventure. It's about the call. And so, if you learn how to live in a call, then you will not function presumptuously as you take your steps of faith. You don't just assume. You let God call you. You never just assume. Now, in Esther 4:13, we have the story about Haman and Esther and Mordecai. Mordecai was Esther's cousin, but he was significantly older than Esther. And when Esther's parents were killed, he raised her as though she was his daughter. So the relationship is often thought of as an uncle, but it was really a cousin. Now Esther became the queen of Babylon. That was in itself incredible. But she did. She became the queen of Babylon and she was Jewish. Haman was the king's top general. He was wicked. And he wanted to kill all the Jews. He did not like Jews at all. And he even found a way to get that process going. And word came to Mordecai that all the Jews were going to be killed because of Haman. Now, Haman had the king's ear because he was his top general. They were very close in the way that they worked together. But Esther was the queen. Now, being a queen didn't necessarily mean a whole lot in those days. She had to be very careful. And the king had a decree that you could not approach him if you were not invited. And if you tried to approach him, he had to hold out his scepter to you in order for you to come. And if he didn't hold out his scepter to you and you approached him, you'd be killed. So this is no small potatoes kind of a challenge. This is serious. And Mordecai gave word to Esther. And Esther said, well, I can't approach the king unless he invites me, and he hasn't invited me in a month. And so unless he holds his scepter to me, I'm going to get killed if I approach him. And Mordecai said to Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape. You see, she was thinking about not taking a step of faith because it seemed dangerous to her. It seemed safer to her to just leave things be. He said, don't think you're going to escape. And he's talking about this order that the Jews are going to be killed that was being arranged by Haman. You're not going to escape in the king's palace any more than all of the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. In other words, You're the one who's going to pay the price. God will take care of the Jews, but you're going to be paying the price if you don't take a step of faith. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And this is one of the things that Christians have to realize. You may be asked to enter a circumstance not only that you don't know, but that has risk. Sometimes missionaries are called to dangerous places. Sometimes you're called to be in a place, it may not be on the mission field, but there's a certain risk to you. Maybe God wants you to share the gospel with a coworker or somebody at school or something, but you know there'll be negative repercussions from maybe the boss or the professor or whoever. Or maybe even from the person that you're sharing the gospel with. Don't think that that's going to make you any safer if you don't do it. Maybe you're brought there precisely for this particular time, for this particular event, for this particular cause. You don't know. But maybe you're there exactly for the time such as this. That's what Mordecai is saying to Esther. Maybe you became queen strictly to risk your life to save the Jews. Maybe that was God's purpose. You don't know that it wasn't. And in fact, he was right, it was. That is exactly why she became queen. Now we know it. He didn't know it. Now we do know it. And then in verse 15, then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews who are present at Shushan and fast for me. And pray and fasting. She says, okay, I'm going to do it, but I want prayer. And I don't just want prayer, I want prayer and fasting. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. We're all going to pray. That was not a bad idea. That was a really good idea. We're all going to pray. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And again, breaking that law can kill you. And if I perish, I perish. That was a step of faith. I know what is needed before God. I need to go to the king. And I have the ability to do it, but it could kill me. I'm going to do it anyway. If I perish, I perish. That was a step of faith. In our steps of faith, and this will not happen to the vast majority of people, but there are times when God could call you into it. There was a young missionary close to 200 years ago, I'm not exactly sure the date, he went up to the Pacific Northwest and tried to evangelize. The local native people killed him. He never won a single person. He went right out of Bible college. And the local natives killed him. And word got back, and it caused such a stir that all kinds of missionaries went up there. And a lot of people got saved. He took a step of faith. And if you were to evaluate by the immediate results, you say, no, that didn't go well. It went exactly the way God wanted it to go. Somebody had to pay a price in order for others to be saved, in order for others to be motivated. But man, oh man, did they ever have results. He took a step of faith. That's really unusual, but it can happen. He wasn't afraid. Don't be afraid. What Esther was doing is really unusual, but it can happen. And she was afraid, but she did it anyway. Because she was willing to take a step of faith. In Joshua 3:3, they command the people saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, and this was when Joshua took over for Moses, and they were not yet in the Promised Land, and they were going to go over to the Promised Land. This is how God did it, because the Jordan River, which is a significant river, was in their way. And on the other side of the Jordan were people who they had to go to war against. They commanded the people saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark represents the presence of God. So what he's actually saying is when you see the Ark, when you see the presence of God, when the presence of God goes, when you see the Ark of the Lord, your God, and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. A step of faith will always go after the presence of God. Sometimes that's the leading. Where is the presence of God? And you always go after the presence of God. If the presence of God is taking you there, that's where you go there. Many people, Moses, many people have said, God, don't take me unless you go before me. Well, God will go before you. That's the thing. If you're taking a step of faith, God will go before you. A call is simply God saying, I'm going this way, come with me. You never take a step of faith by yourself. Never think to yourself that you're alone. You're not. You're there because God is there. And God wants you to be His manifestation, His voice box, His body in that place. Sometimes God will call you into places just so that God could be there. Some people ask themselves, why did God bring me into this difficult situation? Because if you're not in that difficult situation, God's not in that difficult situation. That's why. You're the body of Christ. Christ wants to be somewhere. He's going to take somebody with him. And when God says to you, I want you to be the person to go with me, go with him. What happened on the other side of the Jordan? It went really well. Steps of faith are amazing things. In verse 13 of Joshua 3, when the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan. Again, no small river. The waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing. In other words, the flow will stop. Once the feet touch the water, the flow will stop. And the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap. Can you imagine this? The water is coming, but it's not moving forward. But it's still coming. So it is piling up. You get this massive wall of water. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, the presence of God, and as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water, now Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of the harvest, the water coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap. Very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, and those flowing down toward the Sea of Araba, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off. In other words, it dried up. There was a wall of water, it stopped flowing, there was just a growing wall of water. And the water that was downriver, that just dried up. It flowed out, that was the end of it. And the people passed over opposite of Jericho. Now here's the thing. Sometimes people say to themselves, I'll take a step of faith when all the provisions are there. Moses, for example, when he held his staff over the Red Sea parted and then Israel passed. And sometimes God does that. But in this case with Joshua, they actually had to get in the water. Their feet had to get wet before the provision came through. That means not everything was in place before they took their step of faith. They simply took it because God said it. And God even told them, you're going to get your feet wet, but don't worry about it. Once you get your feet wet, the water will stop. That's exactly how it happened. God may put you in a situation where not everything is ready for you. And God says, now. And you may say to yourself, God, what do you mean now? Not everything is ready. I don't have what I need. I don't have money. I don't have people. I don't have place, whatever. God says, now. You just go. Because when you get there, the provisions will come. Sometimes it just comes because you've taken your step of faith. You don't wait for sight to agree with faith. You take a step of faith and God will do what you need Him to do. Now, when Isaiah was told in Isaiah 6:8, who will I send? Who will go for us? This is God asking. And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Can you imagine that? Who's going to go for me? I will. Send me, I will, I'll do it. But you don't know where. You don't know how. You don't know when. Who's going to be there? Who's going to pay for it? Don't care. That was Isaiah's answer. Don't care. Just send me. If you're asking someone to go, send me. He was not concerned with anything other than with God wanting someone to carry out His will. In 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is He that calls you, who will also do it. There is no one who takes a step of faith that God will cut the branch off. You go out on a limb, God's not going to cut off that limb. God doesn't cut the limb off. You may be challenged in your emotions, but God does not cut the limb off. No such thing. God never cuts the limb off. There is never a time when God will not be faithful to somebody who's taking a step of faith. God calls you, God will do it. You can trust Him. He can't lie. God calls you, God will do it. Titus 1:2, God cannot lie. He calls you, He will do it. Now this is how you operate in it. In Proverbs 3:6, in all your ways, not just the big, not just the small, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Pray. And He will direct your path. That's a promise from the God who cannot lie. And all of His promises are yes, and so be it. He says, if you acknowledge Him, you can't make a mistake. Not because you know any better. He won't let you. He will direct your path. He'll close the doors that need to be closed. He'll open the doors that need to be opened, and He'll tell you exactly which doors to go through. You won't be able to make a mistake. If, and that's a big if you acknowledge Him. If you're out on your own and you're acting presumptuously, knock yourself out. You got a free volition, but don't count on God to back up presumption. But if you acknowledge Him, sure thing. He gives that as a promise. It's a sure thing. In Romans 1:17, this is how we live our life. We take steps of faith. The righteousness of God, and righteousness speaks of a relationship with God, that is to say with Christ, that produces a right standing with God. Because I have a righteousness, or because I have a relationship with God, such that I have a right standing with Him, then the word that He gives me will produce faith. And as I apply that word, as I obey that word, I'll operate in faith. That's what it means there. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. I have a relationship. That relationship through His word builds faith. I apply what I learned. I obey what I learned. It leads to steps of faith. In this, the relationship is revealed. In this, the faithfulness of God is revealed. In this, the love that God has for you is revealed. the mercy that he has, the trustworthiness that he possesses, that is revealed in steps of faith. And then it continues, as it's written, the just live by faith. Your life is going to be one step of faith after another. Some of them will be big in your eyes. Some of them will be small in your eyes. But it's all one step of faith right after another. You want to take those steps of faith. Number one, in Romans 14:23, whatever is not of faith is sin. So you don't want to go down that road. But number two, those steps of faith are your relationship to Him. And that's where you get to know Him. And that's where God's plan for your life is carried out, is in steps of faith. Amen?
If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me, so I can have eternal life with you. Amen.